Good afternoon. It's One Bell of the Afternoon Watch. This is Captain Joe from the Captain's Chair. And we have a light snowing on the magical Isle of Vashon. And when I come on right after Susan, when she's live and I come on right after Susan, we don't go right into Semper Paratus, even if I were to hum it or sing it. So we're going to get underway, and I heard the guest for Susan use the expression "all hands on deck," which is one of my favorite expressions. My friend today is David Vogel, who is going to talk to us about the resuscitation and restoration of the Vashon Community Council. And he has newly returned to the magical Isle of Vashon. But before we get into that, a couple of pieces of regular business. First of all, the snow coming down is nothing like what we get up in the Sioux and up in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And people who are regular listeners, to whom I give a regular week greeting, and to our new listeners, and I know that we have some, if they fulfill their promise to listen, I know that we have some new listeners, and so welcome aboard to them. But my regular listeners know that one of my tours of duty was that I was the Coast Guard commander with my headquarters up in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, up in the Upper Peninsula, and one of the winters that I was there, it snowed 150 inches, and the house that I rented had a wooden truss roof, and as the snow piled up, the wooden trusses would creak and groan, and in order to keep the snow from breaking through into the attic, I hired someone to come and clean the roofs off. We don't have to deal with that here. I suspect that this snow is relatively short-lived, And so we will move on from there and extend a welcome to Counselor back to the Magical Isle again. So, David, I'm going to start off by asking you to tell us how you first came to live on the island and what it was that caused you to leave.
Well, I first came to the island about 1983-84. I was working for a big law firm in Seattle, and one of the named partners, Dick Williams, needed someone to house sit. So my then wife and I came out and spent the weekend, and after the weekend, we were convinced that we wanted to live here. So it wasn't a hard decision, although I had heard about this Bainbridge Island too, and to do my due diligence, I rode the ferries several times between both islands just to see what the commuters were like and get a feel for the islands. And whereas Bainbridge was very businesslike and people were primping in the, you know, in the bathrooms on their way to work, I found that the Vashon Islanders were out there playing cards and talking to each other, and it had much more of a feel of a community, and I liked that. And so we looked around and found a place to live, and I lived there here from that time almost 25 years until 2008, which is which followed two very severe winters, and my second wife, my ex-wife now, said, "You ever think of moving to the central coast of California, which is where she had grown up?" And we had just built a house, and I was like, "How could you say such a crazy thing?" You know, and she said, "Well, I can't survive another winter here." She had an autoimmune disorder, and that was, you know, serious, and our kids were young at the time, so I had to take the California bar. I passed it, and we moved down to the San Luis Obispo area, and I committed to staying there even after the divorce until my kids were in college, and my son entered college this past fall, and I headed back.
So we're delighted to have you back, and it is always interesting to me how people leave the island for various reasons. Sometimes young people leave the island thinking that there is something that is better or more a better job, or for whatever reason they decide to leave the island, and then they come back. So we're delighted to have you back. And one of the things that you have taken on is what we're going to talk about in a minute.
Well, thank you. I really missed Vashon, and it's a beautiful place. But aside from that, the community is just unique here. People really care about each other and want to take care of each other. And that was something that was important to me, and I didn't find that in my new communities.
So I was interested in your remark about those people who live on Bainbridge Island primp as they go to work, whereas there's not a great deal of primping that does here on the magical Isle of Vashon when people are commuting on, because we can only go back and forth by boat, and that is, to me, one of the great advantages of living on the island, is that you can only get here to and from here by taking a boat. Or an airplane.
Well, it's great, and we've had to protect that from the state transportation department on several occasions. I remember a meeting, I believe it was back in the 90s, early 90s, where we had to face that question, do we want a bridge to the island? And I believe there were only about 7,000 people living on the island that time, and pretty much 2,000 people came out to this meeting, and it was almost unanimous, the opposition to the bridge.
My wife is one of the few people who would like to have a bridge on the island, and so she will probably not be too happy to hear how many people showed up for that meeting and how many of them did not want to have a bridge. And no doubt when I get back to Captain's Quarters after our broadcast, we will have a yet another pithy discussion about the bridge. The people that listen to us, it's a very eclectic audience, and many of them started their life's work when they were very young. And that's true of me, but how about you? Did you want to become an attorney early in your life, or was this something that selected you?
You know, my dad was an attorney, a different type of law he practiced. It was more business law, trusts and estates, numbers. He was an accountant. Two, he wound up going into rehabilitation of low-income housing, which he did for a large part of his life, and it was very satisfying for him. But I didn't think I was going to be a lawyer until I think I took the law boards and thought, oh, I'm pretty good at this. And I enjoyed law school. I enjoyed it a lot. And by doing well, I was able to work for a federal judge in Alabama who was a great, great man. And you talk about one person being able to make a difference in the country and the world, and he was able to do that. And so I've had, you know, inspiration as a lawyer, which has stayed with me.
So where did you do your legal training and your legal education?
Well, I went to law school at Boston University, which I thought was a great school. And my training, my first real training was with Judge Frank Johnson in Montgomery, Alabama, who he did many things, including the Selma to Montgomery March was his order, and Rosa Parks went into his court, and, you know, he made a lot of changes at severe risk to his life.
So are you still in practice now?
I am. I have opened another office in Seattle, and so I'll be commuting into Pioneer Square by passenger boat, which is a great commute. I really like the boat commute.
And what is your legal specialty?
I do a mixed trial practice. I do civil, including personal injury and medical malpractice. I do criminal. I like to represent DUI cases, in fact, which, you know, they're not the most challenging legally, but they're a great opportunity for helping people change their lives and gain sobriety, which for me has been a big thing. And then I also enjoy doing Indian law, particularly in natural resource issues such as fishing and hunting.
Well, I certainly not only wish you well, but I can tell from talking to you and having read some of the material that's been published since the work that you started here on the island, that you are a person of dedication, and you will not ever hear from me any of the pejorative comments about attorneys. I had some attorneys in my family. They were men of integrity and men of dedication, and they did make a difference in their practices. And I'm going to believe that that's what's going to happen with you. And I'm going to now move into the reason why, in particular, I invited you to come here today. But before I do that, I'm going to insert one of my stories. And with people that come as my friends to talk on this program, I invite them to make any comment that they might like to make at the end of my the little story that I'm going to tell. And that has to do with Singapore. Have you ever been to Singapore?
No, I haven't.
Well, then we're going to take you to Singapore right now, because my son and daughter-in-law have just accepted a contract to teach in a school in Singapore for 2 years. And I just had a message from my daughter-in-law this morning asking for some advice on living in Singapore. And I've been there several times. And I was there once on Coast Guard business, because there's an enormous amount of shipping that passes through the port of Singapore. And we had, at that time, we had a liaison officer, a senior officer who worked with the Singapore government to make sure that ships that were coming from Singapore and from that part of Asia to the United States were safe. And so I had Coast Guard business with him, and I flew out for this meeting. And at the end of the day, we got together for dinner at his home. And at that time, I was, as most of my listeners know, and as I have admitted several times, I was a frequent and enthusiastic, always at shore, never at sea, a participant in the consumption of alcoholic beverages. And during this dinner, we had all had quite a bit to drink. I was being driven back to my hotel by a driver, a car and driver, so I wasn't driving. And during the course of the dinner, there was a loud rattling noise coming from the kitchen. And my host said, "Captain Joe, there we have what is believed to be, by the people who work for me here in the house, that there is a ghost in this house and is causing that rattling." And I said, "Well, why don't we just go and check it out?" So we went into the kitchen, into the galley, to sailors, and went down underneath the sink. And it was dark and it was musty down there. And we had a very small flashlight, what the Brits call a torch. And I got down underneath all of the piping and discovered, by reaching all the way back as far as I could reach, that there was a bracket that was supposed to be holding the pipes, and that as the water coursed through this pipe, it was causing it to rattle. So I came back out and I said, "You need to get somebody in there to put this simple metal bracket in, and your problem is solved, and your employees need worry no further about there being a ghost in this house." What I did not know was that not too long before that, and this was exposed to me the next day by my host, was that a cobra had been seen in the yard right around the house, and that it was the height of folly for me to go under that sink and poke my hand around where there was the known presence of a cobra. So I am going to advise my son and daughter-in-law to be on the lookout for cobras in Singapore. And I was fortunate, as I have been in so many places of danger in my life, that some person or some entity was watching out for me. And so now I've taken you from here to Singapore, and now we're going to come back from Singapore to the magical Isle of Vashon. And I want you to tell me and all of the people that are listening about the beginnings of the community council and then what you are doing to bring it back.
Well, the island has always, since the 30s, had various groups to represent various interests. But back in the 70s, then county executive John Spellman,
who became the governor,
had the opportunity to speak to two of the community leaders at a picnic and a barbecue. And he said, we're about to engage in zoning changes to Vashon. We're going to do a study of what's needed. And in order for us to be able to do that, it's important for us to know what the islanders want. Now, you have separate organizations that speak well, but they don't give us a unified voice for the island, which we think is really needed. And what do you think about that? And within a month or two, there was a community council that was formed after a series of meetings at Ober Park. So once the island saw what was needed, it didn't waste much time getting it done. And the community council was formed back in 1976. I moved to the island about 7 or 8 years later, and I was very impressed when I moved there by the quality and the strength of leadership among the citizens here. There were some very strong women that I can recall, particularly Marion Fitch, Marion Calhoun, Enid Dahlstead, a group of, you know, women who had put in the time, who knew how government worked. I've got one in my family. My stepmother was a city councilwoman for New York City for 20-something years, represented the village, Greenwich Village. But these people, aside from being sort of familiar to me, took me under their wing and said, Dave, you want to help with what we're doing? And that was basically communicating to government entities what the island needed. And so they had a community council. It was working well, and they brought me into the fold. And soon thereafter, I said, okay, I'll be president of the community council. And it was a time back in the early 80s when the island was, I think it was more divisive, the population on the island, between the old timers who had kind of inherited living here and felt it was theirs, and the newcomers, including the hippies who had moved to the island, who were making it into a more liberal place. It was fairly split at that point, but the liberals seemed to be taking control politically. And the community council meetings could be very, how would you say, not so much divisive, not so much agitated, but excitable. And people would raise their voices and sometimes even yell at each other. And when I was leading these meetings, at first I took it kind of personally, and it was difficult. But over time, I learned that it wasn't about me. It was about the island. And so once I got that through my head, it was a lot easier, and getting people together was easier.
So let me put something in here right now. Susan is sitting across the room from me as we are talking, and when you made the remark about these strong women, she lit right up. And so one of these afternoons, Susan will come on, and she and I will have a discussion about strong women And in particular, one of her interests are women who are in occupations which are normally considered to be mostly occupied and dominated by men. So we will have that discussion, but I'm always happy to follow behind Susan on her program because she always has such interesting people, and I know that she's interested in what you're having to say. But I interject here because I think everybody should understand that the magical Isle of Vashon is part of unincorporated King County. It has no government structure of its own. And would you comment on that, please?
Yeah, that's very true. It's one of the rural areas, too, in King County. And that was kind of up for debate back when the Growth Management Act was getting passed and going into service, because by being unincorporated, we could stay rural. But if we were to choose the route that Bainbridge took and incorporate, we would become an urban growth area. And that was really a decision that the island had to make back in, I believe it was the late 80s. And we chose to forego being incorporated. So we gave up some of the control that we would have. But we did that both to have more of a buffer between us and the power, and also in order to maintain the rural lifestyle. There are trade-offs, but if we have the ear of the ruling, of the governing bodies, then we can get what we want. If we lose that ear, we cannot get what we want. And so that's one of the reasons it's so important to have a community council, because we're unincorporated, because we don't have the control ourselves, we have to be able to impress what we need on those who are in control.
So one of the things that has happened not as a result of your return, but one of the things that you have picked up is the fallen flag of a community council. And I know that you just recently had and hosted a meeting to start to get the temper and the flavor of the community about the restoration of a community council. Tell me how that meeting went and what you see as the prognosis.
Well, I thought the meeting went very well. We had some very talented people who came to the meeting who have a lot to offer the island and a lot to offer a community council. And these people, a lot of them had experience in this type of venture, and there was a lot of enthusiasm. We had about 24 people come to the meeting, and there was no one who came to voice opposition to the idea. In fact, since I've been back, I haven't heard anyone tell me they think it's a bad idea. The nice thing is that with that kind of talent and dedication, people will do the work, and it takes some work. We need subcommittees to study various issues, and that's something that the community council was very good at doing, is having good subcommittees that could discuss difficult issues in depth, as opposed to just having a public meeting where people can't get into real depth in issues. If you put it in a subcommittee's hands, they can go out and do the research. They can invite people to speak on subjects. And some of our really good nonprofits on the island developed from these subcommittees, such as Vashon Household. And I think even the Voice of Vashon was originally an idea that was sprung at the community council.
So how do you see this evolving?
Well, we had a good working model of the community council for many years. We had bylaws that had developed over time, and in general the bylaws were quite good for what we needed, so we have a very good model to base our our community council on, and we can improve on what we had before. We can look at it and say, okay, in the past, only 18-year-olds could vote. Why is that? Is it that 18-year-olds are so much smarter than 16-year-olds, or are they more involved in the community? I think we need to look at issues like that, because one of the things that's nice is to reinvigorate the process, to bring youth into the process, because they have so much energy and so much to share. And if we ignore our youth, if we say, well, you're not old enough to really tell us what you think, it's demeaning and it's discouraging. And why waste all that good talent?
So, as is always the case, we come far too quickly to almost the end. And I have a couple of other things which are always part of my broadcast. But I have one question for you, David, which may be too early to ask, but I'm going to do it anyway. Do you see that the sleeping cobra in the basket of incorporation coming back up again?
I don't see that coming up anytime quickly. I really don't, because I don't think that Vashon wants to become an urban growth area. And that's been out there since the Growth Management Act. So it does, you know, I think what we really need is to get better representation. And in order to do that, we're going to need a community council.
Do you think that this might evolve into having some sort of executive authority or some sort of executive power that would manage some of the activities on the island, some of the political activities on the island?
I think one of the beauties of the community council is that we did not have executive authority, that we were able to express our opinion without having control over people. And I think the island is made up of a lot of individuals who appreciate their independence and don't like to be told what to do.
Well, you've certainly struck a responsive chord with the captain on that one. And it remains then for me to not only thank you for having picked up the fallen flag, but also to wish you every success. And as this evolves, I will ask you to come back on again, because clearly there is an evolutionary process that has to happen here. And so what final word would you like to give me here before I use the rest of my time for some of the things which are traditional on this program?
Well, I would like to reach out to other people on the island who have an interest in governance, who have an interest in seeing that islanders get what they need. There are a lot of safety issues on the island that need to be addressed, transportation issues. These are the things that we need a community council for, and so please join us and help put in the work. I should say that before I had children, I didn't quite understand why there wasn't more participation among people who were young adults. And then when I had children, I saw what a commitment of time that takes. But I'd like to see us get some babysitting for the community council meetings so that people could attend meetings and bring their kids with them. See government in progress.
I think that any time that we can open out to a government in progress, that is something that's important to everybody that listens to this program, no matter whether they live in Stockholm, where I do have listeners, or any place else in the world, that what you're talking about are exemplary of the idea that democracy belongs to all of us. And it lives and thrives only if we all of us take a part in it. So I have just one more minute. And on this one, I want to talk quickly about a funeral that I went to. And this is to make you feel a little bit better about yourself and about the world in which we live. The funeral was on Saturday for Joe Boyd, who was an old-time island resident, and he had been an Army veteran. And so the Army provided a color guard and a bugler. and they were young people, painfully young, and they were immaculate in their appearance. They were in full dress uniform and immaculate in appearance, and the flag was at, when the ceremony started, the flag was all folded, and then the two of them unfolded the flag and held it up, and the bugler played taps, and the bugler's playing taps was so beautiful and so clear that even your tough old captain brought a tear to the corners of his eyes. It was absolutely lovely. It could not have been better, and the flag was then folded in the traditional way and ended up with it in the triangular shape and was presented to Joe's next of kin, one of his nieces, I think. But I tell this little story here because these were the best of our young people, and they carried out their duties in more than just routine fashion. It was a lovely, lovely ceremony, and I want everybody to know that. So we've come to the end of my time. It is now two bells. Truman, you now know the way that we keep time aboard ship. It's two bells of the afternoon watch. For all of Captain Joe's people who are traveling this week, safe voyages back home to the Magical Isle or wherever it is your home. Everybody watch out for each other. Watch out for the six of the people around you. And reach out, touch fingertips with somebody close aboard. Give somebody a hand, and we will meet again. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again right here at Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the frequency modulated band. And your captain is in the chair, and we are on station and watching properly.